When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Fan First Sports Network's I-80 Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
You know, another day. Can't complain. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. As we were just talking about pre-show, you know, being on social media and arguing with fans is very annoying. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
I be trying to help people out. Yeah, but no, it's
cool.
This is like it's the time of the year where like you're just kind of looking for anything. So you pretend that like all the news is big news until the game start up again and then the season's over.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool. What's up with you? How you feeling?
I'm chilling. A little tired today, actually. I don't even know why.
But, I feel that.
No, actually, I do know why. I ate twice today and ended up getting sleepy. Which makes no sense. So I had breakfast and I had lunch, and then like maybe
your body was like, "We don't do this.
We don't normally do this." And I was slumped. I started getting real sleepy. I made it through the day, of course, but it was for some odd reason. I'm just tired.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's been a long Monday.
That's funny. I feel like it's always a long Monday.
Yeah, Mondays are usually always long.
Yeah. It's crazy, bro. Like, I'd be tired as hell to not have a job. Like, it don't make no sense. I think it's just because applying for jobs is so tiring. And then it's just like, even using like ChatGPT to help with like cover letters and stuff is so tiring. But it'd just be super frustrating because it's like, the only jobs that get back to you are the scams. Like, I actually, like, 45 minutes ago, I'm not from New York. So anytime I get a call from a New York number, I know it's a potential job. Like, it couldn't be no one else. Like, in Ohio, it could be anything. It could be a friend. It could be a doctor's office. It could be anything. If I get a call from New York, it's a job because that's where I'm applying. That's where I live.
Right.
I'm like, all right, cool. It was a place that I'd already Googled and knew that it was door-to-door marketing, and I'm not doing that. And I already, like, ignored all the emails and stuff, and they called me. And, of course, it's, like, something consulting. Like, they always have these fancy-ass names. And then as soon as they start talking to you and they, like, don't use real words, you know it's a scam. It's like, yeah, we're a B2B marketing solution, and we look for people who can effectively market business and client acquisition. I'm like, dog, come on now. Like, I already knew what it was because I looked at it. Because, like, also, their, like, interviews are always a scam. It's like, it's not an interview. They'd be like, yeah, log into this Zoom for a, you know, thing. I'm like, I ain't never had no job that's like, log into this Zoom recruitment event. Like, no, that's tripping. But it's funny because this one in particular, I looked at it and I think I ended up on like Reddit or Glassdoor or something like that. And they're like, yeah, the job's a scam. They had me come to an interview at a Starbucks. And then the next day they had me come in, right? A Starbucks. Come on, bro. The next day they had me come in to like show me a day of life and a job. And it's like, a walk, like, you know, it's like walking, and it's actually worse. Like, I don't know if this is everywhere, but in Ohio, everyone makes fun of Vector. But like, at least in Vector, you're going to like houses. This is like going to businesses. Like, you may get a little play going to houses. You know, you don't get no play walking into like. And I actually got tripped up in one of these when I was like 18. Tripped up as in I spent a whole day there. Because they're like, we're going to show you a day of life and a job. And then I got there and they had me get out my car get in someone else's car, and then I was stuck for 8 hours while dude was walking door to door to freaking McDonald's and Wendy's trying to sell some stupid shit. And I was so pissed. So it was just funny. So they was like, yeah, they had me meet at a Starbucks. So I Googled the address. And it, bro, it was a Starbucks. They were trying to have me come to a Starbucks, bro. I was just like, come on, bro.
Nah, that's crazy.
Like, I've gotten a couple, like, you know, not, I've had a couple interviews. I got a couple, like, we're not interviewing. But any of the ones where it's like, I applied to this yesterday, I immediately know it's a scam. I'm like, come on. But, bro, these jobs, one of them, they hit me today. And they like texted me because jobs are texting now, and they're like, yeah, do this, you know, log into this Zoom recruitment event. And when you log in, put my name as the person who invited you. Instantly knew it was a scam. Yeah. But then I went back to the job description. I'm like, how did I get another scam? The job description, like, it sounds like a real ass job. But then I go to the website, bro, on their frequently asked questions, it said, input client question here. They didn't even finish their website. Like, it had a frequently asked question, and it had the template of the frequently asked questions where it's like, input client question here, one, answer client question here for like three. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, wow. So they just didn't even get anywhere with the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically,
oh, this
basically
is ridiculous.
And I'm like,
I knew they scammed in New York, but God damn. No,
but the crazy thing is, I found this job on LinkedIn. Like, everyone knows LinkedIn is not, it's not like, it's not what it used to be. Like, there are legitimate real jobs on there, but like, you expect to be scammed on like Indeed or like Jobs to Career or something. But LinkedIn, I clicked it. I was like, where did I find this job? I clicked on it. It opened up LinkedIn. And then I went to their LinkedIn page and it didn't say nothing. I said, oh my God, bro, they really be scamming, dog. Like,
that is nuts. Yeah. LinkedIn is crazy. I didn't know scams was happening on LinkedIn because I found my job.
Well, it's LinkedIn. Like, I think there's a lot of real, real jobs on LinkedIn, but there's also starting to be more.
Every so often. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Nah, it's crazy up in New York.
Yeah, it's weird. But also, like, New York, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this hard to find a job in New York. Not like a... like a full-time job, yeah, because the job market is awful. But, like, it's hard to find a part-time job. I'm like, damn, everybody, nobody hiring.
You got nothing going on.
Yeah, the job market is, boy.
Straight.
Yeah, it reminds me because I was remembering, like, I was seeing the thing where they was talking about they're ruining the job market and raising unemployment rates because they wanted to fix the economy and people thought they was lying. They was not lying about that. They ruined the economy. They thought that raising unemployment would fix the economy. And it probably would, but it's like, you know, the government don't care about it. Yeah. No, they probably did it right because nobody has a job. I'm not an economics major, so I don't know how raising unemployment fixes the economy. But nobody has a job, so it takes everybody like 6 months.
And it is crazy because a lot of the jobs are like phantom jobs too. Like, not only are they not scams, they're just there up there, but there's no actual job available. And that's just crazy.
I've heard about that. A lot of people like keeping jobs up even after they're filled to make it look like they're hiring, even though they're laying
Them
a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on out here in these streets. But like, it's literally gotten bad that I've seen like job recruiters, like the people who like post jobs on like Twitter and stuff, be like, if you have a job, don't leave your job. Like, you can apply to other jobs, but don't leave your job thinking you go get a job unless you got like I literally saw someone say, unless you're ready for 3 to 6 months of sitting at home, do not leave your job until you get another one. And I was like, man, well,
damn.
Right. But yeah.
I ain't gonna lie to you. There's a lot of jobs in construction. There's a lot of jobs in construction.
Yeah. The problem with like, Well, that's a thing. Okay. So, you know, it's crazy. UPS is a place that like you can get a job offer same day.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a job at UPS. Like, not me. It's just they had one position open. And by the time I finished the steps, it was filled.
Yeah.
The other one was in Jersey. The other one was in Jersey, and it took me like an hour and a half to get there, which is like mind blowing because it was like this job is 7 minutes away, and then I like put in the address, and it's like an hour and a half by bus, 7 miles being an hour and a half. I'll never understand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, like
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and it's just like it was just the job was gone. Like by the time I saw it and finished the application, there's like. It kept me for like a couple of days, like because like basically how it's supposed to work, you're supposed to just like do it, and then you're supposed to go in there and be able to pick a day to start. And if you don't do your paperwork in time, they might move your start date or whatever. But like you can pick a day, like I'm gonna start this day. So I go through it, and it's like we don't have no days right now. Come back. But then they kept sending me text messages like finish your application. So I would log on. We don't got no days right now. We'll contact you. We don't got no days right now. We'll contact you. And like 4 or 5 days later, I go back in there and they're like, this position is no longer available. And I'm like, damn, even UPS got workers.
everybody. Damn.
Yeah.
Never
mind. But yeah. Lucky for me, I'm in education though. So like there's a crazy need for subs.
True.
So I'm about to start subbing because there's just so many schools. I'm about to start subbing. I'm just waiting for all my background check and everything to go through. And there's like stuff here that like you just don't have in Ohio because it's not like the need for it. They have like it's damn near like the fucking Grubhub of subbing. Like you know, like you do it, you do your background check, everything, and then it's like an app, and then like it has all these like contracts and you can pick up your contract and stuff like that. It's like that for subbing.
Okay.
And I thought it was fake because that sounds fake as hell. But I Googled it and like it's like a real thing. And like they have it, they have it in like big cities. So it's in like New York, Cali, Miami, some you know, other places like that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, bro,
somewhere in Texas probably.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. That shit was hilarious, bro. I was just like,
there's no way this is real.
Subway? No, like Starbucks, man. Like
yeah,
I Googled the address, bro. It was dead ass Starbucks. it was dead ass Starbucks.
Like, bro, y'all didn't think I would do that?
Like, no, bro, I guess not. Cause dude showed up.
You're right. Bro, fair.
Even if I didn't Google it, bro, if I walked in and I see Starbucks, I'm going home. Like, I'm not about to go going home for the meeting. No, I'm going home.
That's not happening. I'm going home. Going that's home wild. With the quickness too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy. All right. So there's a lot of news. A lot of things are happening. Some big, some small. One interesting thing in the news: USC is trying to fix their defense. Shout out. I think that people think that this is a bigger deal than it is, in my opinion. But it sounds really cool. So USC hires North Dakota State head coach Matt Entz to be their linebackers coach and assistant head coach of defense, which is a made-up title. Made up.
Assistant head coach of defense?
Right, because the defensive
coordinator. He's the assistant defensive coordinator?
Right. You could have just said that. It's just a made-up title. Assistant head coach of defense. That don't make no sense.
Especially assistant defensive coordinator. That's what right. He is. Like, because like, what's the head coach part?
Right. Because I don't think the defensive coordinator's job title says head coach for defense. Coach it just defense. Says defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because like Ohio, like it's funny because like Ohio State was like Ryan Day when they went to hire DC. They said I want a head coach for the defense because Ryan Day don't like thinking about defense. He's an offensive guy. So he hired someone who effectively serves as the head coach for defense, but that's not his title. His title is
still defensive coordinator.
Like that's what he does.
Yeah, now that's weird. So. We're making stuff sound fancy for no reason. And now it just sounds illiterate. Like,
yeah. Like, but so they hired him. He's cool. He's a 2-time FCS champion. He's 60-10 as the head coach. Like it sounds to me, it sounds like a bigger deal than it is, because at the end of the day, when you're at the FCS level, if you want to jump up, you have to take a position coach or a coordinator job. Yeah. That's what they all do. Most of them. also, this is no shade to him. He is like, despite the fact being a two-time national champ, he's like the worst coach in North Dakota State history.
Oh.
Like, maybe not history, but like recent history. Like, their rival has beaten them like 3 years in a row, and they haven't won a national championship since 2021, which doesn't sound that bad, except if you know what they used to do and win national champions. And then you have South Dakota State, their rival, being the best team in FCS right now. People aren't that happy with him. Like, I'm not trying to disparage him and say it's not cool. Like, that's a big hire when you're trying to fix your defense.
I mean, but 60 like, and 10, if 60 and 10 is the worst ever,
or crazy,
worst
right?
in recent history, I mean,
crazy, that, right?
It's not too shabby. I'm not even going to...
But it's funny because I actually think it's like a Ryan Day situation where it's like 10 losses, but like three or four of them are to the rivals, so people don't like it.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what it is.
Yeah, but at least that he still is a two-time champ. So,
facts. Like, and that's why I said, like, I'm not trying to disparage it because, like, that's still a big pool. Like, I'm not trying to, like, you know.
He has a great resume. I can see it's probably the fans thing. It's like you were saying about Ohio State fans. It's the fans thing. Like,
yeah,
you're so used to one thing that you think that's supposed to always happen, and you got to remember, right. like, it's not going to always happen.
Right. But it's also just like, bro, Ohio's like, Colorado just did that. They just took the winningest coach in Kent State's history and made him an offensive coordinator. Like, that's not the rawest thing in the world. So this is why people don't like him, okay? This is their national championships. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, 21.
And so the past 2 years, they haven't had one. So if he had stayed there and got one in 24, it would seem about the same consistency that's been going on in that history.
No, so they have 5 in a row, 1 year off, 3 in a row, 1 year off, 1, and then 2, about to be 3 years off potentially. Yeah, it's
but if really he had one, if really he had stayed there and won one, it'd be 2 years off, and then you won one, and you never know if they would have went on a run.
Exactly.
So like,
So it's not like crazy, but you know, the Ryan Day thing, he won in 19, so they're and this part I'm making up because I don't know for sure because I don't know any North Dakota State fans, but like the one in 19, they probably don't credit him with because it came after a year of 3 in a row. So it's like the Ryan Day thing. He just. You know, like he just coached someone else's team and won one. You know what I'm saying? And then in that time since when it became his team, he's only won one. I'm not saying it's real. I just know how it goes as an Ohio State fan. That's why, like, you don't, even if you want to move up, I don't think you leave this job if you're not facing a little bit of pressure. And I think because, which freaking, I feel bad for the coach after Nick Saban. It's going to take like 3 coaches after Nick Saban for that job to like cool down.
Unless he's out the gate, it's going to be hell. And even after that, it has to be out the gate and be consistent the entire time.
Yeah. If you go 2-3 years without winning one, or even what if you don't even make the national championship in the first couple of years? They gonna get him out of there.
Fuck,
so.
Man, if you don't, honestly, if you don't win an SEC championship,
it's gonna be rough. So, like I said, I don't follow everything North Dakota State, but I have just heard some rumbling. So, I think that kind of like played into it a little bit. And he probably wanted to jump up to this level, and to do that, I wouldn't go on Lincoln Riley's staff to jump up as a defensive guy, but. To do that, sometimes you take that step down and then they still pay you more than your job because you don't make that much as an FCS coach. Yeah. So
I do. I mean, is he a more defensive guy? Apparently.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing so.
I have to guess that's what's happening here, but, okay. I guess you're right about the Lincoln Riley. The reason why I would say it's not too bad, especially like it's not a bad job to take because it's USC. You're going into the Big Ten. No, not really. Not from coming up from, because again, you could find something. in a few years, because I think even with Lincoln Riley, you're going to put up points if you're a decent enough defense. Again, I think stuff. There are certain teams where you do not have to be a great defensive team because your offense puts up points. So if you're good enough, I think he could eventually find a job somewhere else where he's actually a defensive coordinator, and then whatever the shit like that, like whatever his goals are after that. I don't think it's too bad of a job idea.
Hey, hold on. So I don't know when this was written, and I don't know if it's exactly right, okay? But dude is 60-10, okay? This Wikipedia, so, you know, I don't know exactly. It says since 2011, they have a record as a school of 149-12. So if he has 10 of their 12 losses since 2011, they definitely wanted him out of there. Like, if this is true and he has 10 of their 12 losses since 2011 and he's only been there since 2019, they were running him. He had to get the fuck. That number sounds fake, bro. That can't be real.
If that's the case, then okay. Never mind. Never mind what I said earlier. That's, yeah, he was getting ran out of town.
Bro, that means before he started, one of their only losses had to have been in 2016, or both of them were in 2016 when they didn't make the championship game. Mm-hmm. They had a streak of 39. Hold on. Where's that at?
This man about to say a ridiculous ass.
A 22 game playoff win streak. They won 22 straight playoff games.
That's okay. I'm done.
He's like at 60-10. He's the worst coach that they've had. And like 15 years. Oh my god.
Oh shoot,
bro, that's nuts.
That's
I'd have left.
That's you. Crazy. Actually, that's crazy as hell. That's crazy as hell. Oh damn!
I couldn't be mad at bro. I'd have left too.
If somebody was gonna kill me, somebody was gonna get me out the pain.
Bro, that's crazy.
I hope that's not true. I hope that's bull. I hope it's bull because, like, ain't no fucking way, dog. Ain't no way.
Yeah, that's crazy. I left too. I left. You're right. You did the right thing, bro. You did the right thing.
He had to.
My only problem would be
no other way. There was nowhere else he could. There was no. He couldn't. Because I promise you, he'd lose one game and they win the championship. They still was going to run him out of time. He could have won the championship. One loss would have been enough.
Bro, they're in the semifinals this year. Like, they're back to winning again. Like, they might win the championship this year. He's already accepted another job.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Especially because what I think is going to happen, I think they're going to get to the championship game, and then I think they're going to lose to their rival, South Dakota State, again. And he knew it. So he was like, you know what? My bag's already packed. My wife is already in L.A. Like, she's sending me pictures on the beach with my kids. Like, I'm as soon as this game over, I'm not even getting on the team plane. I'm on the private jet. Lincoln, fly me out of here.
Fly me out of here.
That's crazy.
Please come get me.
Speaking of another hire, this one is actually a good, really good one. Michigan State hires Joe Rossi away from Minnesota. Minnesota's defensive coordinator. Minnesota's been like top 10 or top 15 the last two or three years in scoring. And I like this defensive coordinator has kept them alive, especially with all of the injuries and the bad quarterback this year. And then all of the injuries the last couple years for them to even, you know, when they won 11 games, when they won 9-10, like, it was because of their defense. Like, they had a pretty solid defense.
Yeah.
So, and that just shows like the haves and the have nots. Cause like Michigan State's not Michigan or Ohio State, but it's still better than Minnesota. And like, their new coach came and pulled a sitting DC from a Big Ten job.
Crazy.
But I told you I like Jonathan Smith, bro. I think he's a real ball coach. Like identifying Joe Rossi as your DC, I think is like that's a smart move. And it's like you're in a new conference. It's going to be different. The teams play different. Obviously, you're adding some teams that you know because he was in the Pac-12 and you're adding USC, UCLA, all of those. But you got all these teams that you don't know. So you get a proven DC that's in the conference that knows the recruiting landscape, that knows the conference, that knows the style of play. I mean, that's a great hire. I don't know what Minnesota is going to do, but that's a great hire.
It's rebuild time.
Yeah.
It's time to start saying Minnesota going to get like 5 wins.
Which sucks for them, but I mean, when you get to this point, you losing, and they already had lost their, they already had, it didn't work out, but they had already lost their offensive coordinator to Penn State. Now they're losing like DC to Michigan State. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah. Had a good run.
Facts. Speaking of another coaching or coordinator being lost, Penn State loses Manny Diaz, its defensive coordinator, to Duke.
Oh.
I think that's a good hire. You remember the Manny Diaz thing?
Yeah.
Where he was basically out recruiting and they wouldn't fire him. They were waiting to see if Oregon's head coach would accept the job, Mario Cristobal. Yeah. And then when Cristobal accepted the job, then they fired him. So he was literally recruiting. And it was like, bro, you'll have the job if Mario says no.
Mm-hmm.
But it was already his job. So they played him. And he wasn't the best coach. But Mario's not doing no better. So it's hilarious that they did that. I think he's good for Duke because Duke, unlike Miami.
Wait, what?
Huh?
You said, wait, Mario took which job?
Miami.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
When Manny was the coach, yeah.
Yeah.
And Mario's not doing much better there. I think Manny is good for Duke because unlike Miami, they don't have the history of winning, which Miami hasn't won since 2001, but they still have that history. Duke doesn't. So even if he just recreates what he did at Miami, which is get a decent quarterback, win 8-9 games, be, you know, pretty good. Like Duke is going to be happy with that. They're going to have a really good defense again because he's a defensive guy, right? So like they're going to be punching people in the mouth, which is going to get them some games in the ACC because Penn State was dogging people in the Big Ten and that's better teams. He may not have that access to that level of talent, but still, like, they're gonna have a really well thought out defense. They're gonna be blitzing. It's gonna be fun to watch. Like, I mean, he could just be a bad coach and like he could have just lost everything, but I think, you know, having what he went through, going to Penn State, doing the 2 years there, getting another shot at him, I think he's gonna be good. Like, I could see him there for
it was
a while.
2 years. I thought it was just one.
No, it was two. Yeah, he was there the year before.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So yeah, I think that's a good hire. It sucks for Penn State. Penn State made a great hire with their offensive coordinator, and the year before, 2 years ago, they made a great hire with the defensive coordinator. We won't talk about the previous offensive coordinator's hires that were awful. So, you know, with this, with Manny Diaz and the new OC, they were 2-for-2.
Yeah.
Can they do it again? Can they hire another DC? And even with the good OC, I think this is not great for Penn State going into next year because even if you get two good guys, right? Even if you get two good people, they're new. And they have to learn the players. They have to learn the talent. They have to learn the system. They have to learn everything. And you're taking this into this year in 2024 where your expectations are you didn't beat Ohio State and Michigan last year.
But you're expected to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're
expected to at least beat one of them because you have
your quarterback. You're expected to have Nance. Yeah.
Your quarterback's in his second year. Your two running backs are in their third year. Your star linebacker's in his third year. You lost some people, but you still have some good guys. Like the pressure is still there. And now you have two new coordinators. Even if one is really good, like I like who they hired for the OC, but it's never easy replacing both coordinators at the same time. So that's going to be something interesting to watch. Obviously, they haven't even announced it because he just got hired a couple of days ago. So like they're in the search. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Penn State now having to replace both their coordinators. And if James Franklin can make a back to back great hires and the same offseason.
I hope so, because they're supposed to be making it to at least, I think they should get two games deep into the playoffs. I forgot, it was 12 teams. That's what, six games?
No, it's four. Because the first four get a bye. So you have the game on campus, and you have the next game, and the game after that's the semis. And
the
game
first after that's four the teams get a bye.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because 12 is a weird number. So the first four get a bye. So it goes 5 through 12 play. That's six games.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is four games. You could have did six games. You could have just did the top two get a bye.
Yeah. Well, that'd have been five games. But it's only adding one more game, but still. So, but that doesn't work because you lose an even number. You don't have no one for that.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, yeah, fuck the bye. I'm sorry, but
fair. Right, fair. But whatever. So you get four games in the first round, and then you get another four games in the next round because the team coming on bye. And then you get the two semifinal games, and then you get the final. So it's four.
It should be four.
It's 4-4-2-1. Right?
Four. The first four games. That eliminates four teams.
And then the next four eliminates another four teams. So then you have four total, and that's two games. That's the semis, and then you have the final. So it's 4-4-2-1.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah. It was, for some reason, that was fucking on my head. I don't know why. You're right.
Yeah. So I don't know. They should at least win one. I don't know that they're going to get to the semis often. It depends
on but it depends on who or whatever how it happens. But sure. I think,
This is a year, and like how it's been projected, this is a year that they should go. Because I think they've been projected to play like Ole Miss or something like that, and that should be a team that they're better than, even though they're in the SEC. But we don't got to get into that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up, and I think that should be a good game.
With Penn, I think Ole Miss specifically isn't a toss-up because Lane Kiffin likes to crap his pants, and Penn State's defense would go crazy, I think.
It'd be a fun game to watch.
There's some other.
It should be a good game, is what I'm saying. Fact, at least,
Are we actually getting? I'm gonna have to look at that later. I can't remember if we're actually getting Penn State Ole Miss still in the
bowl.
We are. Yeah, we are. We're getting Penn State Ole Miss still in the bowl game. It's gonna be different because players are gonna opt out, which they wouldn't in a playoff, obviously. But okay, let's wrap up the news. Kyle McCord and Julian Fleming, wide receiver and quarterback from Ohio State, are visiting Nebraska. I think that's interesting.
I thought it was hilarious.
I think it's good for Nebraska, but I also I also think it speaks to how the landscape views Kyle McCord. Because there are a lot of schools that are in the playoff now or will be in the playoff next year who need a quarterback that didn't even look at him. And so for the people who are like, Ohio State fans are tripping, they're like, he was good. And I was one of them. Like, I felt that.
I still think he's a good quarterback. I think the view on him is a little too skewed. And I think it's just because he played at Ohio State.
I also agree. But it is still, whether they're right or wrong, it is true enough that the big dogs didn't respect him enough to offer him. So
I think there's a few teams that could use him.
Yeah, that are better than.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, is Notre Dame's quarterback? Was that Notre Dame's quarterback?
Yep, Notre Dame needs a quarterback. They didn't look at him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a
Oregon didn't look at him. USC's not looking at him. Washington's not looking at him. They all need quarterbacks. Their quarterbacks.
They are gonna need quarterbacks. I think they might be still focused on their bowl games.
That's the next thing. Oregon already has their transfer quarterback commitment. They just didn't want him. And like, I'm not crapping on him. I'm just saying that where he's looking at Rutgers, Nebraska, and Syracuse. That's a full step down. That means it is. Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan needs a quarterback. We don't know. Like, JJ's probably going league. So Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Washington. USC, all of those schools, Notre Dame, all these schools that are expected to be in the playoff next year, all passed on them. So that's crazy. I agree. I think
it's crazy.
But
I think it's because he had to play after a few generational talent quarterbacks at Ohio State.
But that makes sense.
Crazy numbers. But so that so when he puts up, I think him putting up good numbers instead of fantastic numbers skews what he actually did. Because again, a lot of these schools could use him for real.
Yeah, and it's not just the numbers thing. There's a little bit more to it, how he plays some other things. And I also think some of it is like if he couldn't – I think it's some coaches like not believing in themselves. Like if he couldn't win at Ohio State, we can't get him to win here kind of thing, which is like loser mentality.
Which makes no sense because, again, you had generational talent. Right. And they still couldn't win at Ohio State. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's weird, but it's going to be very interesting if they both land in Nebraska and Nebraska plays Ohio State next year. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny because I was like, Nebraska, damn. Like, yeah. I thought it was funny. And then I went, damn, like,
yeah,
but he's better than that.
He's better than that. But then that's what's funny because I was talking about Ohio State fans being annoying. No offense to the fans that are listening, but like Ohio State fans who didn't want Kyle, they turned on Ryan Day after like 4 days, and now Ryan Day is dumb because he forced Kyle into the portal without having a backup, and Kyle could have improved. But like,
even though y'all
the same, y'all wanted him gone. That's what I'm saying. The same people wanted him gone, but because the portal has been open officially today, it's 7 days. This was a couple of days ago, but because the portal has been open for 3 or 4 days, and Ohio State doesn't have a quarterback yet, that means they're not going to get one. And now they're like that. The people were like, Devin Brown's better than Kyle McCord. Now they're like, Devin Brown couldn't beat out Kyle McCord. He's not good. And the other kid is young. Ohio State doesn't have a quarterback. And Ryan Day forced him into the portal. And I'm like, that's not what happened, dude. Like, I genuinely don't believe Ryan Day wanted him to go to the portal. But I also think that Ryan Day, who is probably coaching for his job in 2024, sat down with him and his dad and said, I cannot guarantee you the starting quarterback job. You are welcome to come back and win the job. And I still think, unless they go pull out someone crazy, I think he would have won the job again.
Yeah, he would have won the job. He would have won the job.
I wanted him to get thrown in the portal. I wanted him to go out and improve, get the private quarterback coach, work on his feet. He probably would have won a job, another year of development. He probably would have been solid. I still don't think JJ is a good quarterback, but JJ has improved enough to be mentioned potentially as a late first rounder. Maybe someone falls in love with him. Maybe Jim Harbaugh gets a coaching job and drafts him higher. I think with another year, he could have got there, right? He could have been an early second, late first round pick. He's not going to be number one, number two. He's not going to be in that batch, but he could have improved. But it's funny because these people that didn't want him, they're not like, Ryan Day ran him away. That's like, that's not what happened. But as I said before, he has 1 year of eligibility left. So he can't. Did I want him to stay and compete? Yeah, but in his mind and in his dad's mind, he's done enough to be a starter, and so he wants to go somewhere it's guaranteed. Because if he loses the job and his final year of eligibility, he doesn't get to audition for the NFL. And now and Ryan Day is really smart, right? When Ryan Day has a quarterback on the edge, he's only ever one time, and he did it with Joe Burrow. Ryan Day has only ever one time picked a quarterback before spring ended. And he did it with Joe Burrow because he wanted Joe Burrow to transfer and get a place to stay and get a place to play. So maybe he would have done that with Kyle, but Ryan Day, he did this with CJ Stroud, and everyone knew CJ Stroud was the winner of the competition. Ryan Day likes to wait until fall camp so he has both quarterbacks on the roster. So if he didn't have a decision by spring, he gets to fall, he loses the job, he just wasted a year of eligibility. He now has to redshirt, right, and sit a whole year. And then transfer next year. So for him and his dad, if you're not going to guarantee me the job, I need to go somewhere that is guaranteed so I can play and audition for the NFL. Ryan Day didn't run him off, but as the head coach of Ohio State, who hasn't beat Michigan for 3 years, he looked him down and said, listen, I can't guarantee you the job. I don't think either one is wrong. Ryan Day's not wrong for not guaranteeing it. Kyle's not wrong for leaving. I think the most likely outcome is that both of them regret it.
Yep, probably.
I think Kyle regrets leaving, and I think Ryan regrets, like, not – I mean, I don't think Ryan Day's wrong, but like, I think he wishes he was still there.
Because if they were going to go into the transfer portal for a quarterback and had him, because if was that is that the goal as well? if Kyle had stayed there, was they were going to go after someone in the transfer portal and then had him compete for the job?
Yes. Yep. Mm. And I think that's what he told his dad.
Yeah. Which so is what I, as Kyle, if I hear that Kyle, I would be like, well, I have to go.
Right.
Because I have to make sure I get a year to play to try to get to the NFL. Like, I got to go.
And who can shame you for that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but it's just funny that
because at the end of the day, I
ran him into the portal. School. Right. Right. It's like Ryan Day ran him into the portal. But it's like, dog, I saw your tweets 3 weeks ago. You were running him into the portal.
Not even 3 weeks ago. 3 days ago, bro. I
swear, bro.
It's Y'all crazy. Ran him out of here. That's what I was like. Because, this is, yeah, you're right. Like, Ohio State fans are annoying because you can't sit here and say this coach ran him out when you are trying to run the coach out and the quarterback.
Yeah, like it didn't happen, but like if Ryan Day would have left for Texas A&M, they would have caught him soft, despite the fact that they wanted him gone.
They were gone. Like
they're like, wow, you can't accept the challenge, dog. You ain't want him here. I mean,
you
I
ain't want him here. To accept the challenge.
I don't want him here either. But like, I wouldn't have caught him.
But soft. That's what I'm saying. Like, bro, if he had left and got a new job, and y'all be like, he's soft. I'm like, no. I know for a fact he was like, leave. He needs to go. Y'all,
People are lucky.
First L, and everybody was like, fire him.
Yeah, people are lucky.
He lost to the first L to Michigan. Everybody was like, fire him. And now all of a sudden, if he was to leave, y'all like, nah, you're soft. Because it's different. It's, you know what it is? Him leaving and him getting fired are two different things.
Facts. They want him to suffer. They don't want him to choose another job.
Yeah. Don't want to be like, oh, I'm gonna go here because y'all don't want him here. No. I want you fired, and then you found a new job. And that's definitely what it is, and that's crazy. Y'all gotta be the I don't know, man. LeBron James fans,
relax.
Ohio State fans and hey. Cowboy fans.
No. MJ fans are worse than everybody. They're worse than everybody. You have Skip Bayless at fucking 70 tweeting the same statistic. Michael Jordan don't even shake that man's hand. Michael Jordan fans are weird. They're worse than everyone. Michael Jordan fans literally be like, Michael Jordan slapped somebody. Ha ha ha. He was so tough. He was such a good guy. He had a gambling
addiction. You forget. That there are LeBron James fans that literally slept on comforters with his face on it.
You telling me MJ fans don't do that?
I ain't never seen it. Listen, I'll tell you this much. You want to know why that matters nothing? It's because I have no physical proof. I have no memory of seeing that happening. But I've seen multiple
the whole MJ documentary is literally them just orgasming over
it's him an MJ being documentary. Asshole. LeBron James documentary is not going to be a suck off?
First of all,
The MJ documentary was called The Last Dance, and it's literally focused on Michael Jordan. You think anything? Well, tell me this. When LeBron gets his Cleveland Cavaliers championship thing, when they talk about that, we don't have that yet. You don't think that's going to be a full on suck off?
Okay, here's my thing. You're right. But my point is, with MJ, it's like. Yeah, MJ slapped a woman in her face. It's because he was trying to get to the game and drop 30. Like, they're weird. Like, it's weird. Like, it's like.
And LeBron James fans, are not weird.
No, because here's the thing. Like, the Kobe mentality makes sense because Kobe was a competitor. MJ was just a dick. And people act like it's the same
MJ
thing.
MJ was both.
It doesn't matter that he was a competitor. They'd be like, Kobe woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go work out. He's just like MJ, who went gambling and drank for 12 hours and then yelled at Steve Kerr. Like, it's weird. It's weird. MJ fans are worse. What? LeBron fans are bad. MJ fans are worse.
I can't agree. I promise you, we don't have enough time in this podcast, MJ fans are grown men.
They're like 50. Skip Bayless is 65. on Twitter.
Time out.
And they ain't never talked to that man. Yeah,
Shannon Sharp is 50 something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And again, I'll tell you right now, between those two of the fandom,
Shannon Sharp's much worse.
Whoa, come on now.
Oh, yes.
Come on now.
Oh, yes. What? Oh, yes. What? And I'll tell you right now, I'm telling you, Skip is sick. Skip is sick. Shannon is worse. Skip wears Jordan. All right, time out. Skip wears Jordan's. Shannon showed up with a fucking goat mask and a crown in the thing talking about he was Goat James. We old boy Goat James.
Hey, but that's...
I refuse, bro. If LeBron makes a cool layup,
Skip be like, Michael Jordan would have made that layup look better. He's worse, bro. He is worse. Significantly worse.
No. Nah, because there have been times, bro.
That man told his wife he wouldn't do nothing to watch LeBron play just so he could tweet and hate on him. His wife, dog, he's weird. He's worse.
And I'll tell you this. Listen, I'm telling you this right now. There's been times that Shannon Sharp is a football guy, and they've been talking about football. Like, the whole segment's about football. He will bring up LeBron James' name 6 times.
Skip does that with MJ.
Not in a football segment.
Yes, he has.
Not as much as
He's
confused. All right, 1A, 1B. 1A, 1B. You want to know why? And you know what's crazy? I want to say this much. I'm going to say this. I think LeBron James fans created the sicko MJ fans. Because LeBron James fans were so gross. You know what? They're called Bron sexuals for a reason. There's a name for it.
Come on, bro.
They're called Bron. It exists for a reason, bro.
MJ is worse, bro.
Nah, ain't no way.
MJ fans are worse, bro. It's not even.
And I've seen some sick shit.
MJ fans are worse, bro.
I've seen some sick stuff from LeBron James fans.
You act like you ain't seen it from MJ. What are you talking about?
I have, and I've seen so much worse from LeBron James.
Literally, MJ fans. Because people don't fight in the NBA no more, right? LeBron will have someone go on a podcast and say something about him or do whatever. And it, like, what is he supposed to do? Beat him up? And Skip Bayless would go on TV. Everyone was scared of MJ. They would have never called MJ a bitch. They would have never. MJ had everyone quavering in their boots. Like, that's weird. Because LeBron didn't go to jail and get suspended for half the season for fighting somebody. MJ is tougher. And, oh, MJ, they would have never said that about MJ. They was dogging MJ in his own documentary. Like, literally, like bro.
Do you not think LeBron... You don't think LeBron James is a softer person than Michael Jordan?
Softer how? Like, what are you asking? What are you asking?
Like, a lot of stuff gets to LeBron.
And, bro, MJ quit because the media was hard on him. MJ couldn't survive social media. What are you talking about? Yes, he did. MJ could not take criticism. That is proven in record.
That man's father died. Like, what?
He killed him!
No, he did not. On, oh, bro. My God.
Regardless, bro, MJ could not take criticism. That dude is fucking 60 talking about a dude looked at me and I took that personally. MJ is soft.
He was talking about back then. He said he even said, you know what's crazy? Because a lot of players have admitted to doing this, including him. There's a lot of players, including him, that admitted to doing that. They would create things in their head so they can get motivation. Kevin Garnett has said it. Kobe Bryant has said it. Because Kobe Bryant's beef with Ray Allen was made up in his head.
MJ was crying because they were playing too rough. Kobe, way tougher than LeBron. I'm not like, MJ is soft, bro. MJ was high on coke and fucking alcohol.
What? No, he was not. That was his teammates.
MJ.
That's what his in 85 so, through 87. So that was his like teammates.
How does his eyes look like Dante? Bro, what are you talking
about? Because he has jaundice, nigga?
Yeah, because like, he's been drinking his whole life. What are you
drinking? I'll give you that. You said Coke. No, that was his teammate.
You telling me he wasn't doing Coke?
No.
Okay.
No, that everybody was cigars and drink. I will give you that. That is a cigar smoker and a drinker.
Everybody was doing Coke.
Wilt Chamberlain did Coke, nigga. Yes, not Michael Jordan.
Bro, MJ was doing Coke. Everybody was doing Coke.
Nah, no. Everybody was doing Coke. Not Michael Jordan.
You telling me Michael Jordan wasn't in them parties with them white women doing Coke?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Here's a few people I think with Charles Barkley. I'll give you Charles Barkley.
He's still doing it. Shaq.
Because you're probably not wrong.
Oh, my God.
Clyde the Walt Frazier. Yeah. Yeah. Probably. but there's certain players I don't think so. I just don't think so. Karl Malone? Yes.
We got into Karl Malone. Bro, Karl Malone is so bad that Zarya knows what he did. Because we literally just talked about it yesterday, the day before, because we were talking about Kevin Hart. No. Who was it? Was it Jeff T? Who was it that asked Kevin Hart and them about Josh Giddey on live TV?
Oh, I have no clue.
It was Jeff Teague or somebody.
You sure it wasn't Kevin Garnett or Paul?
No, it wasn't Kevin Garnett. No, they were all together. I think either way, it doesn't matter. So like Kevin Hart and a couple basketball players or whatever were doing an alternate broadcast of the in-season tournament championship game.
Okay.
And Jeff Teague or somebody was a guest, and on air, live on NBA TV, he asked, I'm going to have to send you the video, he asked them what they thought about Josh Giddey. And Kevin Hart was like, one thing I know how to do is deflect, and wouldn't answer. On NBA TV, live on air, while they were doing an alternative broadcast for the in-season tournament. Yeah, I'm gonna send it to you after.
What kind of answer is that?
I'm gonna send it to you after the show, bro. It was hilarious. What kind of answer is that? Oh yeah, bro, it's hilarious.
fuck. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, where are we at? I don't even know where we were at.
Hold on. I know.
Okay, Oregon lands a transfer in Dylan Gabriel. Yep. And their young quarterback Ty Thompson transfers. This is going to be something I'm going to talk about a lot in the offseason. We don't have time to talk about today, and I mentioned it before and whatever, but I think college football is going to be in a really bad spot because of what they're doing to the young quarterbacks because of all of these transfers, these fifth, sixth, and seventh year guys. Like Jeff Sims, who was the Nebraska quarterback who got benched for like a no-name freshman because he had like seven turnovers in three games. He's transferring again. Dog, you suck. We just watched you suck. How do you have another year eligibility? Like, he's going to get a job over a freaking 18, 19, 20-year-old who's been waiting, and he's not going to get developed. I don't know if Ty Thompson is good. Nobody knows because he sat behind Bo Nix for 2 years, and then they brought in another transfer. I think that we're going to be in a really bad spot because there's everybody's not going to be any good young quarterbacks.
Trying to do the win now thing.
Yeah, because think about it. You watched a bunch of games this year, right? Mm-hmm. Who is CJ Stroud? And I'm not even talking about like first round. No, I actually am talking about first round pick. Who is Trevor Lawrence? Who's CJ Stroud? Who's Justin Fields? Who's Caleb Williams? Who's Drake May? Who is the freshman or sophomore that broke out this year that's going to have a great year next year and be the number one pick? You can't name it. We can always name it. You can't name it because there's no young guy starting. Every quarterback in the Heisman was a fifth or sixth year guy. I can't name a young quarterback. It's not going to be Jalen Milroe. Like, maybe it's Georgia's quarterback, but, like, he's in his fifth year because it took him 3 years to start. Like, this is his first year starting. Yeah, this is first year starting, but I think this is his fourth year there, right? So it's like, who is the guy, right? And we now the thing is, we could get that guy next year, but going into the year, we don't have that guy because every place of note is starting either a third or fourth year guy like Kyle McCord and Carson Beck, who had to wait, which is how it should be, or they're starting a seventh year transfer. USC has recruits on their roster and they're looking at transfers.
That's like, crazy. Because why did you recruit me?
That's what I'm saying. Ty Thompson, Oregon. I literally had Oregon people tell me that he was going to be good 2 weeks ago. And now he's in the transfer portal because they're looking for a new quarterback. Like, they believe that. Because I was talking about the 2021 class and how that class wasn't that good. And I had Oregon people comment telling me that he was going to be good. He was going to start this year. And now he's not. He's in the transfer portal because they got another six-year guy. Bo Nix set the record for most starts and something else. And this guy's going to break it because he's in his sixth year. And he's like 11 starts away from it. And so if he doesn't get injured, he's going to play 12 games. He's going to break it for the same school. It's just like, I think that there's going to be a negative impact from these.
I think it's just going to be a continuous this.
Well, so it can't be a continuous this entirely, though, because the COVID eligibility is gone.
Yeah.
So, like, we've always had 4- and 5th-year guys.
I was going to say, but for a few years, it's going to be, like, well, maybe, like, 2 more years, it's going to be something like this.
So, but I think the problem, and the reason why I don't think that's going to happen is because they're all going to run out of eligibility at the same time. Because almost all of them are running out of eligibility this year. There's only a few left last year, next year. And then you have your guys like Ty Thompson and these other guys, Brock Vandergriff from Florida, from Georgia, who are going to be in their 3rd and 4th year and have never played. So you don't have the older guy to transfer because the older guys haven't played yet they were behind even older guys. Literally, Dylan Gabriel has started for 4 full. I looked it up. He has 10, 12, 12, 13 games started. And then he has a 5th year where he got injured and he only played 3 games. But he has four full seasons of starting. 10 games,
12. Yeah, you're just taking a job away from me. It's like, oh, you know what? You're right. Because it was kind of like what I was doing with Tom Brady and shit like that. I was like, you're in Big Ben and all them. Like, you're taking away jobs from these young guys. Like, you're too old. Let it go. Let it go. It's time to go. And, like, at that point, if you've had four full years, you really don't need your six. You don't need that 6 year because you were gone for your 5th year. You had 4 full years.
Facts.
You aren't that guy. Like,
right. And so I think, and then again, Ty Thompson's 2021, right? Okay. Kyle McCord was also 2021. Kyle McCord transferred to Ohio State because he's on his last year's eligibility. So you have this guy who is technically next year going to be a senior. He'll probably have a couple years left because he probably redshirted somewhere in there, but who's technically going to be a senior and has never had a chance to play. Because, and again, I'm using him as an example because I know his year, but has never had a chance to play because they kept getting older guys. And older it guys. Worked with Bo Nix, right? It's whatever. He played really well. They almost made the playoff. He was a Heisman finalist. Like, that, fine. That case worked. But the Jeff Sims one didn't. Brock Vandergriff, he went to Kentucky. We don't know if he's good because we haven't seen him. He was a 2021 or a 2022 guy, right? And Carson Beck is not a grad transfer. So, like, that's not exactly the same. But we have all of this stuff happening, and it's just like, these guys aren't getting a chance to play, and it's pushing the timeline.
Yeah, and it keeps pushing it. And I think that's why I'm saying I think it keeps pushing it, because these guys that haven't had a chance to play are taking other young kids' jobs at other schools. So it could be. That's why I was like, there could be like a domino effect. I get what you mean, but I was like, this could be a slippery slope where this could just keep happening.
So what I think is going to happen is, I think we're just going to have a middle class who just never gets to start, and it's going to start over. So, like, these guys like Ty Thompson and stuff like that, they're going to get beat out by a freshman or a sophomore who is better than them because they haven't played in 4 years. And then that whole class is just not going to play.
Damn.
I think that's more because it, like, if you haven't played in 3 years, like, sure, it works for some people, but a lot of times if you haven't played in that long, you lose it.
Yeah.
And then you're learning all these new systems, and you're moving all over the place.
Over and over again.
It just, So it's going to be one or two things, right? Someone's going to be a fourth-year guy starting for the first time, be really good, stay for a fifth year, and it's going to continue the cycle. Or these guys are going to get beat out by freshmen, and we have a whole couple of classes who just never got their shot because these fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth-year guys were he, like Utah, right? Cam Rising, their quarterback got injured, missed the whole year. He's coming back for his like seventh or eighth year. Utah's had two people transfer under them. One of them was their starting quarterback this whole season. And Utah's like, oh, well, we had another guy who got injured and it's fine. But it's like, you're losing your depth. And I like Cam Rising, but you're losing your depth and you're losing your
recruiting. Because at this point, did you say his seventh or eighth year?
Yeah, because he's been injured a couple of times.
No.
And he's good, but you've seen him. You're losing your depth. What happens if he gets injured again next year? Who's playing? Because you lost your depth.
You just lost a guy.
You've lost the recruiting class. You've lost your development. Now there's going to be a lot of rosters like this where it's sixth-year guy, first-year guy. And there's no one in between because everyone in between left. So you have a guy who's been overdeveloped and played at three schools and a guy who's been on your roster for 6 months and isn't ready to play. And you don't have that guy in between because they've all transferred because you keep bringing in these old guys.
And everybody's going to blame it on the transfer portal. And it's like, it's not that. These schools are using the transfer portal as a win now means. Right. And it's like, it kind of works, but it doesn't.
Lincoln Riley's trying to get a transfer quarterback over his 5-star recruit that he recruited.
And like that that would make me as a young recruit go, well, then what the hell?
Then he's going to hit the portal.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the portal because it's like, bro, you recruited me here and you went to go find someone else?
Didn't even give me a chance. Yeah.
Because like I know, because if you're looking in the portal, you're probably going to have them start because he was older.
Right. You whispered all these sweet nuts in my ear. You came, sat on my couch, ate my mama's cooking, told me I was
the future. Because it just made the recruitment. And then it's my
time. Right.
It made the recruitment. What the problem with recruiting was, like, I want to say a decade ago when people just kept lying to these kids and stuff. It's going to end up being that all over again.
Yep. Because as soon as they get a transfer who they think is better, who's probably not, they're not.
Probably not.
They're not.
Or gonna... just because he's older.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Poor kids.
Yeah. Crazy. Last thing, we spent almost the whole show on the news, but it's cool because the other stuff we can just run through. This was the more interesting stuff. Where am I at? Kyle Manungai, the leading rusher in the Big Ten, he's returning to Rutgers, so that's fun. Nice. Running back. And last bit of news. So Michigan's trying to get Jim Harbaugh to sign an extension, making him the second highest paid coach in college football. I think it's like 5 years, 11 mil or something like that, right? But and here's the thing, right? We understand how media works. Who does it benefit to leak that they want him to say he's not pursuing NFL jobs? It benefits Michigan because they're trying to pressure him into it. So they want him they're like, we're going to give you $11 million. All you have to do is he has to put in writing that he's not going to pursue NFL jobs. I don't think he does that. There's a chance that the Bears job is open, right? Like you're telling me. Like,
and I think he would be a better coach for him.
Right. Like the Raiders job might open. They may give it to the guy, right? He's black. He's a Antonio something. He's black. He's a Raiders, he grew up on the Raiders, whatever, but like he's also a black coach in the NFL and and they're losing some games. You're telling me the Raiders aren't going to try to get Jim again? They tried to get him last time before they went
Cardinals, with Cardinals, maybe.
Cardinals just got a guy last year. It's his first year.
Maybe even Washington because I've been seeing their fans want him going.
Washington? I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't know if he's going to do that, especially because it could very much be a Pete Carroll situation of people forgot because it's not in the news right now. The NCAA is going to come hard on Michigan. So he might skate out of there and not have to deal with
the all.
Right. Like
I'm not going to be there.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting.
That would actually be one of the greatest tweets of all time if he did that.
That would be great. But then the other thing, right? So like what happens if he doesn't sign it until after the cycle? Like, what are they going to do? Because if he doesn't sign it, right, and it gets to like January, because that's when the NFL mm-hmm. cycle comes, right? January comes around after the national championship. He doesn't sign it immediately. Well, now the NFL cycle started. So are you going to fire him?
They're not going to fire him.
So it's pointless to say, like, you're going to let him go through the NFL cycle again. And mm-hmm. if he doesn't get a job, he's going to come back. And you're going to give him this deal. Because the only way this deal works is if you say, by this date, January mm-hmm. blank, because we need to prepare for spring ball. If by January yeah. blank, you don't sign this, we're going to let you walk. And honestly, it needs to be before, like, you can't fire him necessarily, I guess, going for a national championship, but it needs to be like 24 hours after your loss, whenever that is. If it's
after not your time, loss
or win, but like 24 hours after the season ends.
There you go.
You need to have this signed, or we have to let you go because we have to get our next coach. If he doesn't sign it until January, the NFL cycle starts, he's going to go through it, and then if he signs it after, you just look soft. Why did you put it out there? If you're not going to let him walk, there's no point in you putting this out yeah. there and leaking it to the media. So,
but we all know.
Right. We know.
We know. They're going to let him do his thing and let him come back if he doesn't get a job.
They don't have no choice. All right, so let's begin to wrap up. Yeah, it's hilarious. Let's begin to wrap up. We'll wrap up just going highlighting who won awards and All-Americans, and then a quick just draft tracker of like the young guys who have already announced that they're going to go to the draft. Mm-hmm. So starting with college football awards. I'm going to name the guys who aren't technically in the Big Ten right now, but whatever. So Michael Penix Jr., Washington, won Maxwell Player of the Year, which is the Player of the Year award. Kalen DeBoer, mm-hmm. Washington head coach, won Coach of the Year. Jackson Power Johnson from Oregon won Remington Award, which is for the best center. Marvin Harrison Jr. won the Biletnikoff Award, which is for the best wide receiver. Torrey Taylor won the Ray Guy Award, which is for the best punter, of course. Bo Nix won the William V. Campbell Trophy for the Academic Heisman. He shouldn't be eligible for that trophy, by the way, because he's in grad school, and grad school is easy. And I know people who've never been in grad school.
Depending on the grad school, but yeah.
No. It is. I have 2 degrees in grad school. It's easy.
I want you to understand. I want you to understand that I know
someone.
This has nothing. It's not architecture. But I know someone who just finished their grad school. Not all grad schools.
What's the degree? Is it science?
It's like justice in the mental field in the justice system or something like that. That's pretty much what it deals with.
So like they probably have to take like some biology and stuff like that.
No. They had to take other stuff. Like they had to learn about why people commit crimes and like the mental reasoning behind that. Like if there's
like psychology.
Yeah. But it's like really more in depth, like way more in depth, and I'm drawing the craziest blank right now, which makes no sense because it's been beat over the head for me like the past 2 years.
Yeah, but I will tell you,
I know some grad schools are easy, but not all grad schools are easy.
The grad school overwhelmingly is easier than undergrad, and it's easier than undergrad for 2 simple reasons. One, if you're in grad school, you typically care and are interested in the information, which helps. Mm-hmm. You don't have as many core classes and things like that.
Yeah.
The other thing is you rarely have homework. It's like reading, and you can BS reading. Like most grad school, and this is how I tell you grad school.
A lot of homework.
Yeah. This is how I tell you grad school. Stuff. Is easier, right? Grad school, in a lot of cases, if you don't have a 3.0 or some places the 3-3-2, some is the 3-3, they'll kick you out of the program. So like everyone's like, oh, the expectation's high. No, it's just because it's easier. And again, there are some that aren't, right? Like, I'm not talking about like architecture and some of the very like science-based ones. Mm-hmm. But the one that he's in and the ones that I did and the ones that are typically in like the social sciences, history, art, that kind of stuff, if you're interested in it, it is easier than undergrad for so many reasons, including the fact that you're not 19 trying to go to parties and all this, like, you know, so... whatever, he shouldn't have been eligible for it, is my point, because he's probably in an easy ass master's program. I'm smart, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. The degree I just finished, I got a 3.8. I didn't get a 3.8 because I was a genius. I got a 3.8 because I knew how to get a 3.8. Like, so it shouldn't count. Undergrad is harder, especially when you're like 19 and you have to take fucking like business, you have to take like micro and you're not a business major.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough.
I guess that's fair. That's fair.
And then Phil Parker won the Broyles Award for the top assistant coach. And for any of you who like, don't comment to me, but like, my program wasn't hard. I'm an astrophysicist. Shut up. Like, it's not what I'm talking about. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I know a lot of people like counseling, sociology, history, like all like, and it's like, it sounds hard because they're like, you have to write a 20-page paper. But then when you see all the information you have to put in a 20-page paper, it writes itself. It does. True. Yeah. So he shouldn't count. He's like, he's like 30. He better be good at school. He might as well
be. He's not that old.
He might as well be. Okay. All-American teams. This is AP All-American team. Okay. So Olufoshanu, first team from Penn State. Zach Center is first team guard from Michigan. Jackson Power Johnson, first team center from Oregon. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze, wide receiver from Ohio State and Washington, all got first team for AP. I'm only going to do the first team because it's a lot of names. If you want to see everything, just go to my Twitter, at JordanW330. I typed it out on my Twitter. Edge rusher for AP, Leiatu Latu, UCLA defensive end. Jerzan Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois. Cooper DeJean from Iowa, corner. And Torrey Taylor.
APP All-American team is loaded with 5th and 6th year players. Word.
Yeah. Shocking.
Is it now?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it? They're really the all these starters.
Yeah. Walter Camp. And for reference, for those who don't know this, because I always forget this, there are 5 that is how you get consensus and how you get unanimous. Everyone has it. Fox Sports just created one this year. Like, it's weird. But the ones that matter, the ones that, like, count for, like, consensus All-American, and, like, for Ohio State fans, you'll know you have to – I think you have to be consensus to get a tree in Buckeye Grove. Like, you have to be named an All-American by one of these things to get a tree in Buckeye Grove. For those who don't know, there's a thing called Buckeye Grove. If you're an All-American at Ohio State, you get a tree with a plaque and, like, your name on it. It's, like, a really cool thing. And, like, it's how they honor all of their All-Americans in history. Other schools do different things. Typically, it has to be from one of these 5, and that is AP, Football Writers of America Association, Walter Camp, American Football Coaches Association, and the Sporting News. All of the other ones are cool, but it's just people doing stuff. These are like the reputable ones. Okay. And doing stuff. I mean, it is. I literally saw one for Fox Sports. Like, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
a bit weird. That's weird.
Walter Camp, Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State wide receiver, Zach Zinter from Michigan, Olufoshanu from Penn State, Jackson Power Johnson, Oregon, Michael Penix Jr. got first team on this one for Washington, and on defense, Leiatu Latu, UCLA, Cooper DeJean, Iowa, Torrey Taylor, Iowa. That was their first team. Again, I'm only doing first team because there's a lot of names to go through. On Football Writers of America Association, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, and Zach Center, and Jackson Power Johnson from Oregon. On defense, Leiatu Latu, Jerzan Newton, Jay Higgins from Iowa. He's a linebacker. Cooper DeJean from Iowa as well. There are four players who are already consensus. Consensus means 3 of 5. Unanimous is unanimous. I didn't do the Pac-12 guys, but reading through this really quickly on the Pac-12, Liatu Latu would be consensus, and Jackson Powers Johnson would be consensus if I included them. That makes it 6. The other four are Johnny Newton from Illinois, Myra Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, and Torrey Taylor from Iowa. So those technically 6, if I include Oregon and UCLA, those 6 guys have a chance to be unanimous when the other 2 drop later this week. And then for the other guys, I didn't count this up. Johnny Newton and Roma Dunzek. No, that's not him. Who is it? Johnny Newton and Olu Fashanu from Penn State and Illinois, they have a chance to be consensus. They have 2 of the 3 that dropped, so they can't be unanimous because they don't have 3 of 3. Right. But they just need 1 more from the other 2, and they'll be consensus. Yeah. So Ohio, the Big Ten, not including the West Coast teams because I just didn't do that, they will have 4 most likely unanimous All-Americans and 6 consensus All-Americans when it's all said and done.
Damn.
No. Potentially. Yeah. I said that right. Yeah. I think it's all but guaranteed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that you know, Olu Fashanu and Jerzan Newton, I think they both get 1, right? I think they both get 1 more, which makes them 3. And the 4 that I mentioned, like, I think they're gonna. I was surprised. I didn't know that Zach Zinter would be this high on this, but I think it's gonna be consensus and unanimous for those ones. I'd be really surprised if it's not.
Yeah.
But at least I think Marvin Harrison Jr. If it's not, I think Zach Zinter is the one that doesn't get it. I think Marvin Harrison Jr., Torrey Taylor, and Cooper DeJean all get it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so as we begin to wrap up, Draft Tracker, I'm only doing the young guys because if they're out of eligibility, they're out of eligibility. So far, it's weird. Like, nobody has declared for the draft. It doesn't make any sense. We have Chop Robinson from Penn State, Marshawn Lloyd from USC, who's a running back. Chop Robinson's a defensive end. Braylon Allen, our guy, running back from Wisconsin. Jerzan Newton and Keith Randolph Jr., both defensive tackles from Illinois, have all declared for the draft. I think next week's show, it'll be a much longer list. There's like 5
guys. We're going to start getting people this week.
Yeah, so before the bowl games start.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're running a little long, so we won't do the NFL stuff. We'll just do that next time. I'm just going to make this my pit stop. We can talk about the other stuff later. It's the NFL, bro. So everyone talks about the NFL is better than college, right? Do you want to know why I don't like the NFL more than college? One of the reasons.
Okay.
It happened last night. Chiefs wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, lines up offsides and ruins a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of complaints, a whole bunch of crying, all this other kind of stuff. The reason why I don't like the NFL more than college is because if that happens in college and you're 18 or 19, it's like, okay, you made a mistake. When you're making tens of millions of dollars and you're 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and you've been playing football for upwards of 15 to 20 years, you cannot line up offsides.
Not that much.
I just don't care.
Not that much.
Like penalties that happen in game, holding, pass interference, that kind of stuff, delay a game, things happen.
I think holding, I'll tell you this. Holding, you're trying.
Right.
Pass interference, you're trying.
And sometimes that's better than letting them catch it. It is.
Yep.
Even at the spot. Sometimes it's better.
Yeah. So,
but
I give you that stuff, especially when you're looking right at the ball.
That's what I'm saying. And then on top of that, no one talks about it. No, they were in a bunch. The other two wide receivers didn't know that he was off. The wide receiver who was also on the end line of scrimmage, who's looking at him and is like, he is in front of me.
It is true. Not off. Nobody the would offensive bro. Tackle. But maybe he at that point. You know what's crazy? I think at that point you're set. So I don't think he can move. So I think it would have been illegal formation.
You can move if you're off.
But I know you can step back.
Yeah, you can step back. Like I think, like, especially because you're supposed to check with the ref. And he like pointed at him, but he didn't actually check. If you check with the ref and the ref is like, you're offsides, you can move back.
Because he'll do this. He'll literally do this.
He'll do this. And like you back up. They teach you that in elementary school, bro. Mm-hmm. Whenever you, and so, and it's just like, I just don't like, you're a grown ass man, bro. And then on top, another Chiefs thing. I'm not even a Chiefs fan. They're pissing me off. Marcus Valdez Scanley, or whatever his name is, he does an interview this week, right? And they're like, yeah, so have they talked to you about, basically, like, they were dancing around the subject, but essentially the question was, have they talked to you about your play, about the drops? Are y'all struggling? And he's like, it's just football. I'm not struggling. I do the same thing all the time. Sometimes stuff happens. No, it doesn't. You're having the worst season of your career. You can't catch the freaking ball. You're making tens of millions of dollars, and you're just going to wave it off like it's nothing? I can't stand that, bro. If a 19-year-old drops the ball, cool. You're trying, whatever. You're not all you're making it to. You're in the NFL. And they're asking you a question about you underperforming. You are dropping everything that comes to you. You are running the wrong routes. You can't line up on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You can't line up on the line of scrimmage in the NFL for millions of dollars. You can't see the ball.
Was it him that scored the touchdown?
Yes. So, bro, and everyone's complaining about the refs and all these other kind of things. And it's like, yeah, the refs typically warn you.
No, because there was
the refs.
There was a game
when you
there was a game where the ref made one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And like, and I even said something about it. And I think, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I was like, I think refs need to have a press conference. They should have to answer.
They should
have to answer for how they determine stuff.
And this is not in defense of the refs. I don't care about the refs. We know the refs are bad. They've ruined a lot of calls. They've made a lot of mistakes. This has been like, I know we say this every year, but this has genuinely been one of the worst years for refereeing. But I just can't stand.
It seems like it's almost every year.
I just can't stand those kind of mistakes. You're getting paid millions of dollars and you can't line up on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no. I mean, and especially in that moment, it just seems like. It seems like the receivers for the Chiefs, at the very least, is like you seem to want to make your worst mistake or your
at the biggest
you want to make it at the worst time. At the worst and time, and you're driving down the field to take the lead, and that's for some odd reason at 2-10, you're just way offside.
Yeah, and then and
way
it's like,
offside. And I think it's actually hilarious because the next play, Von Miller is way offside, and he doesn't and it doesn't get called. So then it's and like. What are the refs doing?
Yeah. And they're just like, they never call it. Well, one, it's because most offensive players are almost never offside.
Yes, they do. Because if a tight end or a tackle is up too far, offside. Or illegal formation. They
and, like, and it's like they're like they almost never call it on wide, whatever. But it's because most wide receivers don't do that. And here's the thing: at the line of scrimmage, they give you a lot of leeway, right? It's not like you have to be exact. Like you have to, you essentially. It's basically like
you have to be behind the center,
right?
You have to be behind the center
on the line of scrimmage. Is basically like within. It's like horseshoes and hand grenades. You just got to be close. You can't be egregiously in front. You can't be egregiously behind. Because you can draw a line, and not everyone's – even the offensive linemen, they set at different points, and it's considered the line of scrimmage.
But you're always supposed to be behind
the center. And so there's
and like it's not – you don't have to be that much behind them, but you got to be behind them.
There's a gray area of what's the line of scrimmage. It's not like you have to
be. And even then, if you're on the line of scrimmage, it's right where the ref is.
Yeah. Just look.
Stand where the ref is.
It's bro, it is so easy. And it's the NFL, bro. And all these people are crying and complaining, all this other kind of stuff. I just hate it, bro. You're a grown ass man. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You can't line up on a line of scrimmage.
You can't line up on a line of scrimmage.
Stop.
There is no reason you're that far up. Like, no.
I just don't. I can't with those mistakes. And I was like, the NFL is such a much better product. And I was like, it's not. They be doing the dumbest shit to be 30. And he's not 30.
I don't know. I'll tell you this much. I don't know. Because there is stuff that with college where it's just like, this is just unbearable. Right.
Because,
remember, you had your joke about college kickers. There's not a good one.
And I get why other people seeing that wouldn't like it. For me, it makes the game interesting because you know mistakes can happen. And also, I remember my stuff at 19. So it's just like, it's just a part of the game. It's whatever. But when you're 30 and you're making $20 million, you can't make that mistake.
I think it's 27. Like, I'll say this. You're allowed to make the mistakes.
You have kids, dog.
The reason why I say this, you can make mistakes. They shouldn't be as frequent as these receivers are making mistakes at their job.
There are just some mistakes, in my opinion, you can't make. Holding.
Because like, I can think you can
jump in at the snap. Things like that happen. You can't line. You can't check with the ref, which I could teach my five-year-old cousin, whatever, to check with the ref. You can't do that. I can't stand that. Can't stand it. Maybe Matt. That's just the dumbest thing ever. It's just the dumbest thing possible. So yeah. Check with the ref, bro. And then Andy Reid was like, the coaching point is to make sure he checks with the ref. He's in the NFL. That's the coaching point. Like when you get up levels, there's certain things they don't talk about because you should just know it. When you get to the NFL, they don't teach you how to line up because you know it. When you're in fifth grade, they teach you how to line up. They tell you to do this. And then when you get to high school, they stop telling you that. And they teach you new things. And when you get to college, they stop telling you that stuff and they teach you new things. And when, like, you practice tackling in the NFL, they don't teach you how to tackle. Your DC may have a different technique or a certain thing, but like, they don't teach you to look at the hips and keep your head up. In the NFL, you've been doing that for 15 years. You just practice tackling. Your practice in the NFL is like 45 minutes because that's what they voted for. But it's also because you don't have to spend all the time.
Wait, practices aren't really that long?
No. Most of them are like an hour or less. And it's because they negotiated and players didn't want to practice.
I can tell.
Yeah, me too. And guess when they voted it.
When was that? I forgot when the last collective bargaining game. It was before 2020,
but it wasn't that long ago, was it?
Like 2018?
I don't know the exact year. I just wanted to know if you were going to be in the range. Yeah,
I think it's around then.
It was recent. Whenever it was,
it's recent. Oh yeah, no, it's recent.
Yeah, that's just what I.
Yeah, no, I thought. Okay.
It was recent. They stopped practicing. They cut down practice time.
I want to say I don't remember when the last collective bargaining agreement. But if it wasn't 2020, it was probably 2019.
Yeah, 100%. So you can tell. But like, there's just certain things that they don't teach you how to do because they know how to do it, right? Like when you get to the NFL, this is one of the biggest complaints that they have. Yeah,
just makes sense. This is why y'all dropping all these passes and
y'all can't.
You're afraid to get tackled because you haven't been tackled all week.
Mm-hmm. High school practices are harder than the NFL. Obviously, not skill level, but like what you do at practice is harder. Yeah, you're right. High school, they'd be trying to kill you.
Because the Oklahoma drills and 2-a-days was taken out of the NFL way before it was taken out of high school. So, like,
yeah, crazy. Yeah. Because I did 2-a-days.
I did 2-a-days.
Like my brother, we talk about 2-a-days. I'm like, brother,
No.
You have 2 practices in a day, but I know the rules. You're only allowed to wear pads for one of them. Our 2-a-days started at 8.
It was the whole day.
We went 8 to 12. You had lunch on the field in your pads for 30 minutes. And then you got up and immediately did conditioning. Right. And another 4 hours of hitting. like y'all have practice from 8 to 11. And then you go and you do like weightlifting or you watch some film. You get a nice little lunch.
They let you chill.
And then you go out for a walkthrough. No. But we had conditioning. Mm-hmm. 4 times we had conditioning in the beginning, and then we hit, and then we conditioned right before break, and then we had lunch on the field.
We had lifting, conditioning, hitting.
Yeah, and then you do lifting, whatever. You'd have that, and then you go back to hit, and then you had conditioning to end practice.
Yep.
It's not the same. You don't have 2-a-days, bro.
You don't have 2-a-days. Yeah, and our 2-a-days don't even compare to the 2-a-days,
right? Because they used to eat salt tablets and say if you drank water, it was for pussies. Like they was really trying to kill them. Like, I know people listen to us and they're like, oh, that's nothing. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's probably some old heads.
I understand. Like, I'm not saying we have it harder. I'm just saying even today's high school practices are harder than NFL and they're not allowed to do nothing. Crazy. All right. What's your pit stop?
I was just going to say Lakers won the in-season tournament.
I can't wait.
I guess cool.
I can't wait to piss people off.
But I think it's nice and it's also annoying. And here's why it's annoying, because it's one of the most, it's probably the best example of who Anthony Davis is as a player. And that's why it pisses me off, because I tell you right now, you know, he looked so determined in that game. And I feel like now that he's won that tournament, I feel like we're going to get like 5-6 games of just meh. Just pure meh. And I think that's going to translate in our record. And then when we get to the playoffs, we're going to get way too many meh, because he won an in-season tournament. So there's two things. That was something he's never had before. So he's already won it. He has an NBA championship. So we already know he doesn't have to drive to get that. He said it himself. So
that's hilarious.
So
you're better than me. I thought he was going to get injured like this week. Knock on wood. I'm not wishing injury, but
I didn't even bring that up because, like, I feel like it's a given. I don't know if he'll get injured, but he'll definitely be hurt.
Yeah.
Well, now because like they sent him anyway, so we know they're going to miss games because they sent him down regardless.
Yeah.
They get to sit down a certain amount of games every so often. So. Which I still think it's hilarious, because it's like y'all play a sport and like for 4 months you sit and do nothing. Like you get a 4-month break.
Yeah.
Some people only get 2 weeks vacation. Some people.
Yeah.
Like you get 4 months of vacation. And then you get a break in the middle of your season. You get a week off. And then you get a week off again before the playoffs start. Lakers won the in-season tournament. So I guess they got richer. That was the prize, right? Money?
$500K.
To everybody?
Yeah.
That's literally nothing to those bums. There's literally nothing to most of those people.
And then the 300, I think it's 250 or two, it's 250 or three for the losers, like for the Pacers.
Right. No, right. So again, $500,000 to everybody, to 12 millionaires.
Mm. You know, it matters to like,
they might not Cam all Reddish. Be millionaires.
It matters to like Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish, but Cam Reddish has made millions. He had a rookie contract that's giving him millions.
You're right.
So, like, what is he? And I think he has a million. Like, he's not getting 500. He's not getting like a, because the veteran minimum is $5 million, I think. So, even if he's getting that, I think the veteran man is $2 million. He's still getting $2 million.
Yeah, but like, think about it. If you make $60,000 a year and someone just hands you 10% of your contract, your salary, $6,000, that's something. And I know it means less when you add up, but the ratio's still different.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Like, I know.
The ratio's different. Yeah, that would be great for me. But if you give a $500 million person $500,000,
it's nothing. Yeah.
That's nothing. That shit should be donated to something. Yeah. Like,
I read an article that said it should at least be $1 million.
I think the money should just be donated to shit. But then they're not going to play as hard to win that tournament. So,
because that's the thing. Like LeBron want that $500K because he's cheap. Like, money is money. Money is money. So I think,
I don't know. You know what's crazy? I don't know.
Nah, he said he wanted it. He said he wanted it, bro.
He might be cheap, but I think it's like rich nigga cheap.
It is.
Because he still spends still spends like $100 million on a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you really don't need to do. No. And then he has several houses, which you really don't need to do. Yeah. So like it's like he might be greedy. That's greedy. He's, if you really wanted that $500,000, that nigga's greedy.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of
that nigga's hoarding. That nigga's penny pitching. That's stupid. That's stupid if he really did say that.
Bro, he did.
Because what did D'Angelo Russell say? I could go on 2 vacations. Fuck off, bro. Like
two. Okay, hold on. LeBron, it was funny. There's like, LeBron, aren't you? Because he got 3 charges on Zion, which. He got 3 charges on Zion, and I was like, LeBron, aren't you too old to be taking charges? He said, not for $500K. I'm not. That was in his press conference. We're gonna go off on Zion another day, but
how annoying that sentence is? Because it's yearly salary.
He's
not taking a charge for.
Did you see what Stephen A said about Zion?
Oh man, I saw maybe 2 few seconds and I was like, ooh, this is a bit personal, my guy. And left.
He said there are chefs in New Orleans that came
that like are looking forward to cooking for this nigga, bro. Yeah. Bro.
He looked like it though.
He's like, I'm quoting, not my words, sir. Like sir. That's these hilarious. Might be your words, like,
and even if it is, it's true, bro. It's true
because he did. He has to take his diet seriously. Third time he's admitted this.
Literally, and then the Pelicans leaked that they told him he needs to take his weight and his conditioning seriously, dog.
This is the second time they leaked this. You already know this.
Yeah, you just gave him almost 200 mil. You knew he had these problems, bro. I don't care. I don't.
Honestly, even that being leaked, I saw that and was like, "And
you gave him the money.
You gave him the extension. Who cares? We know that's what you said
before. He's not listening.
Like,
we can.
He's not listening. Should have fucking traded him. Like,
we can see it, bro. And if you know the $170 million wasn't enough for him to stop eating and work out, it's never going to be.
Bro, he never truly wanted to be a basketball player. He just wanted to be rich so he could get bitches.
And he wasn't tough enough to play football.
And honestly and truthfully, you're gonna make more playing basketball regardless. So
yeah. Facts. Cause he's trash and got it like $150 million. So anyway. All right, we're gonna get out of here for now. We'll have more time to make fun of Zion. That shit be making me so mad. But yeah, that's it. That's the show. Quick update. We will record next week. Next week we'll have previews for the bowl games, and then we'll be off for a week, maybe 2, probably 2, because the week after that's Christmas, and then the week after that is New Year's, and people will be doing stuff. So we'll probably come back around the national championship for like 2 weeks, and then we'll hit our off-season schedule. So, all right, we'll catch you then. Thanks for listening. As always, you can follow the show on Instagram, which I will start using again shortly, at IE Football Show.
That's funny.
Follow me on Twitter at JordanW330 and Dante.
And you can follow me on Twitter at DanteM10216.